All right, on the line we got Neil Shirley of NV Composites, former Lyman PR agency, former Road Bike Action editor, former pro cyclist, and the list goes on. What's up, Neil?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on, man.
No worries. Always have to get you on this, especially about BWR. I'm feeling we'll probably talk to you a couple more times before this event actually happens to get a little inside intel from you.
Nice,
But
nice.
what's the latest? How's the weather up there in Utah? You moved away from sunny Southern California
I
to go to
did,
Utah.
although you guys have been getting some rain, which is I'm happy to see. It was snowing today, so we actually the weather, the temps got above the 30s, so felt warm for a while, and then we had more snow again. So, if I rode the trainer, I'd probably be doing that. But since I don't really ride the trainer, I'm really not doing much of anything. So there's that.
Was it, do you own a trainer?
I do own a trainer. Yeah, I have a bike.
Oh, that's a
It's kind of a
bummer.
bike stand, how I use
You
it.
got
Yeah. Can't afford that stuff.
right?
Come on, John.
Okay, let's talk some BWR. You have been there since like the beginning. So let's
Yeah.
just jump into as far as what's your first. Like what I mean what like what's the oldest memory, or I don't say oldest or first, but like when the first time you heard about BWR, like what was that? There we go. I'm trying to word that right.
I think so. I got an email from Michael Marks. Everyone knows Michael Marks, and but at that time, I think that was like 2012, probably like in January. I got an email from him. Somehow my email ended up on his list, probably because I was at Road Bike Action at the time. And but just talking about some crazy event that was 130-ish miles long and a bunch of dirt, but I had no idea what to really expect. And I was like, oh, okay. I was kind of like just a couple years out of post pro racing, and still like kind of looking, still motivated to keep riding hard and doing new things. And I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. So I went out and I did, and it was just kind of like that invite only first year. I think there were like 130 people or something like that, and truly just no idea what I was getting myself into that first year. And I think all of us were in that same boat, except for like Michael, who,
I knew
you
it all along.
dream this up. And I think it was he loved seeing the reaction from everyone. But yeah, what a truly wild day. And it was like not long into that ride, I was like, wow, this is going to be something special.
So that first year when you did that, was it kind of like, did it kind of have that vibe of like a race, or was it kind of like maybe that Fondo, relaxed, like everyone's kind of hanging out and just kind of whittled down? Or was there any like type of racy scenario, like, or how was that first one since there was such an unknown at
Yeah,
the
no,
time?
it was very much like,
It's
it
almost like an
had
underground.
that, it was like an underground race. Like it had, we were ripping down the bike path at like speeds that we had no business riding on the bike path on. And it was very much like that kind of throwdown vibe. I think that's what Michael wanted from the very beginning. So it was fun in the sense that like we were, it wasn't just this casual group ride at all. And then, we're veering onto these sections that we had no business being on our 25C tires and drop bar bikes. But like, we're like, okay, cool. It says go this way. We're going this way. So yeah, it was pretty wild.
So what did you ride that first year, or like what, I mean, what was, or before we say like what did you ride, what was the course kind of like? You said it was like about 130 miles or so, but what was, I mean, we all know the terrain that's usually given
Yeah.
at BWR each year now, but it's always different. But so what was that first year terrain consistent of?
I would say it was a pretty good mix of essentially what we have now. Like, there wasn't, Black Canyon, that wasn't in there, but the Lake Hodges stuff was in there, the very first year. So yeah, it was, a lot of different sections than we're doing now, but more or less like more of the same. So dirt connectors, I would say maybe it's even a little more technical now than it was. But I think the what made it even harder year one was that we just didn't even know what to expect. Now, like, the stories are out there. People know what they're getting into for the most part. But back then it was like, I didn't know what I was in for. I knew I could ride 130 miles, but that's about all I knew.
Did Michael tell you, like, hey, there's gonna be like this much dirt, or there's gonna be like this much like this or that, or was it just like, hey, come check this thing out, I'm working on it?
Yeah, no, we knew that there was gonna be dirt, but it's like, you come from, you know, there weren't other events like this yet, right? So now you can kind of prepare, you know, with a number of other events that are not the same, and nothing's the same as BWR, but there's other stuff that you can ride dirt on road bikes, and people just do more of that now than they used to. But back then it was like, came from, you know, pro road racing, where things are like very well, or not, you know, 100%, like, you got the course profiles, you know, when that next right turn is coming up. And then, like, BWR is just like this completely different animal, and it's not, it wasn't scripted. So that was the thing. It was just like, whoa. And it was amazing. It's just that we're like, I didn't know where I was going most of the time. And I think pretty much everyone was in the same boat. In fact, there were like three of us that rode off the front and missed a section of the course, unfortunately. So, but we made it to the finish line, and we thought we were duking it out for the win, but we ended up, we weren't.
Oh, Neil. Come on now. All right. So back to, all right, now that we know the course was, I'm going to just say that you probably showed up on just a straight road bike.
Yeah. So I don't even, I rode a Specialized Tarmac road bike, rim brakes, 28C tires. I rode that year two. But the first year I can't remember what bike I was on, but I've always ridden 28C tires, every year except for this year, which I ran 30s. And I've done
last year going into this year.
Last year. So I used some Mavic All-Road 30C tires. So that was the biggest I've used there. And every other year I've used 28C. Yeah. So, and, you know, I've done every edition of BWR so far.
Is there a reason why you just want to stick to the smaller tires, or, I mean, what are you going to run this year?
I'll probably run 32C, the IRC Cerac tires. I used those at the BWR Survival Camp in January, and it's a really great tire, you know, on either the NV G23 rims or the 4.5 ARs, depending on how fast I'm feeling that day. Will depend on my setup. Yeah. So, I think that, you know, back year one, year two, like, there just really weren't, I could have benefited from a 30 or 32C tire, but honestly, they weren't there. Like, a good tubeless tire in that size didn't exist. So I was running, like, Continental Grand Prix 4 seasons. So, like, kind of a really robust training tire, durable training tire, but that was just, I needed the durability, and I ran tubes in it. So I ran like way too much tire pressure. I probably ran like 85 PSI and 28C tires, which is just, you know,
yeah, you're a roadie.
You get abused out there. Total roadie.
Standard.
Yeah. So
that's actually kind of like light. Like, that's kind of low, actually.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. It was only double. It was below triple digits. So it's low. Yeah, it's remarkable now, like, where technology is, you know, wheel, tire, bike, all these things that, you know, disc brakes on a road bike back in 2012, like, yeah, there are probably, you know, there were a few bikes out there, but not like performance bikes. Now, like, man, we have such an amazing selection of equipment that is really designed for this kind of segment of riding now, where before it just wasn't even an option.
So since you've done BWR in its entirety, and you know, you've raced road professionally, and then you know, you've kind of seen the landscape of cycling, whether it's, you know, recreational or professional.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel looking at it as a whole from BWR year one when you did it? You didn't really know what it was. It's underground, and now it's turning into a legit race. I always say it's kind of like a marathon style, to where like it's just like there's gonna be pros, and there's like, you know, everyone else, and everyone's running the same course. But you know, this year there's big sponsors on board, you know, media's coming out, there will be world tour pros there, you know, yep, going for this thing. So how do you feel from like year one to where it's gotten to now, as far as like it's just morphed into this, you know, not so much BWR in itself, but just like the landscape of cycling in the US, yep, how this is now a thing compared to like obviously racing in the US. Yeah, you know, it's a little like domestically isn't, you know, the healthiest. But, yeah, you know, it's kind of like this just almost, you know, it's this weird, like, parallel these two segments are running through. But it's like, it seems like one side's kind of going down a little bit and one side's coming up really quick.
Yeah, well, I'd say, you know, when BWR first started, it was just fun. But you weren't, did I think that it would have a draw of World Tour riders? Like, I don't know. I mean, Mark's, that's been his dream all along, like, and he's been talking about like he sees this as you know, the next evolution of racing, which maybe it took me a few years to see that. And you know, maybe, yeah, this BWR style is not necessarily going to take over like world tour level racing as we know it today, but like you said, I mean, there's a real draw to it now, and they're not doing it for the prize list, right? Even though there is going to be a prize list this year, you know, for those guys, that's not what's motivating them. It's because this segment is where the media coverage is and where the attention is. And it's, you know, when Cannondale or Trek, you know, they spend millions of dollars on their world tour team, and they realize all of a sudden that BWR is where they want to reach their current customers and future customers. Like, that's a, you know, that's a big draw right there. So that's how they can influence things. And then the riders are like, well, yeah, that actually sounds kind of cool, because that's the type of riding I do when I'm training. So why not try and race it too? So yeah, it is pretty crazy to see in 8 years, like where BWR is now, but it's not really, I guess, such a stretch, because it's really fun, and you can see why, like, the desire is there, and you know, from pro level riders all the way down to like someone that's like scared to death lining up trying to do their first year, having no idea if they're going to make it through or not. Like, that's, you know, that's a huge motivator.
Do you think, like, you know, all these events are just, especially like, you know, the gravel segment, which BWR is not really a gravel event. You know, Michael doesn't say that himself. It's like he finds it, you know, it's a classic style event.
Sure.
But you still have this gravel segment that's like getting big. And of course, you have all these events popping up. You know, Dirty Kansas kind of, I don't want to say paved the way, but like kind of legitimized it, is like, that's like a full on race. Now you have all these other events popping up, mm-hmm, that I see, or, you know, everyone sees. Do you think there's going to be more events that'll pop up like BWR, in the fact that it's not a, you know, it's not a UCI pro race, but people go there to treat it like a race. But then also you have everyone, like you just said, that wants to just go and do it. Do you see other events like it, but not, what I'm getting to is not just pure gravel, because there's a ton of these gravel events popping up, like DK and all these other ones. Do you see a hybrid mixture coming up similar to BWR? Because as of right now, I haven't seen anyone else do something like that.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I would say 100% for sure. And I'm shocked that there aren't others that have taken the BWR model and just tried to replicate that. And maybe some have, but what BWR had initially was like, you know, the mad genius of Michael Marks, you know, who is just really incredible at like creating buzz. And he had the backing of Spy at the same time, which just straight out of the blocks had this huge marketing power, and that really helped build what they were doing immediately. Whereas, you know, a smaller independent race promoter doesn't have these resources to kick something off so quickly. But I do, there's, you know, there is so much demand for this type of riding that is still within the realm of road riding and road racing and not necessarily gravel per se, that I am surprised that there hasn't been another one or two like national level events that really popped up and grabbed our attention.
So like looking over, you know, the years that you've done it now, other than, you know, it's getting bigger by the numbers and like, you know, obviously more sponsors and media is coming on board. Like what have you really seen change? And it doesn't have to be at the event, but like it's something, you know, within the event or, you know, the industry. Yeah. Like what have you seen change across the years that, you know, roll with this event?
Well, I think, you know, one thing I already touched on was honestly like the equipment advancement. As more and more riders got into this scene and were doing different things on drop bar bikes, like the industry finally caught up and are providing tires and frames and wheels that actually allow you to have a better experience, fewer flat tires, ride safer, all these things that all of a sudden when that equipment is available, then more riders are going to commit to experiencing this. So that's a very positive thing. Also, I would say how many, you know, before BWR, like how many riders would think about going and doing a, you know, almost 140-mile ride in, you know, doing that annually, right? And then you take that 140 miles and add in 40 plus miles of dirt. And out of those 40 plus miles of dirt, how much of it is actually better suited to a mountain bike? And these are like, these are not pros. These are, you know, people that were maybe doing like century rides before and stuff. And now they're experiencing something like BWR and like growing as cyclists and building this confidence in the type of riding they're doing. And like, to me, like that's the most powerful thing, like what it's doing for the cycling community. And now you look at these BWR prep events and the rides that they have, that I don't know if they're monthly or the weekly rides down in San Diego. And it's not just in San Diego now, like they're popping up everywhere. And it just has created this whole community of people that enjoy doing, you know, similar type of rides and stuff that just didn't even exist 8 years ago.
One thing I've always been curious on this style of event and these different types of events is like, I don't really think you can pinpoint it down to one certain thing, but it's always there. Like you've done the road racing thing, you know, you've done all the big races and you know, just like how serious that atmosphere is, yeah. Whether that's during, post, pre, you know, there's not a lot of fun going on. I mean, yeah. You know, depends, but like, you know, it's like super serious, right? Yep. But then you go to these other events and then, you know, we'll talk about BWR, like it's a hard ride. You're out there all day. You obviously have to train for these things. The legit guys are showing up, but you do not get that like super serious vibe ever. I mean, you know, after it's fun, beers are flowing, before it's joking around, during, like it's still really hard and like it's still an effort, but like it's just a completely different atmosphere. And I don't know what it is to pinpoint it on. I think it's a majority of all these little things that add up, but it's just, you know, it's wild to think like you're kind of out of competition at both ends, you know, whether it's the big road race or a BWR, but it's like, it's the damn near same thing. You're riding a bike, but it's so different. Yeah. And I mean, obviously that's what's doing really well for all these other events, but like, I don't know, like, what are your thoughts? Like, what is it that just makes it so different?
Yeah. I think it's the, you know, these, you can take pro level riders and you put them in this environment in pro road racing, you know, that you have to be 100% serious. And like, if you have a bad performance on the day, it's that day is a failure, right? There's no other way around it because you're 100% judged on your performance. At these events, like you can still take it, you know, as seriously as you want. You can go in and want to win and have all these goals and train hard for it. But I would say for just about everyone out there, even if they have a bad day, like it's the environment that allows them to be like, well, that's a bummer, but guess what? I still had a blast out there. And like, I don't think there are many people that make it to the finish line at BWR. Hopefully there's no one that makes it to the finish line at BWR and is like, oh man, that was a bummer of a day. I mean, you can have, you know, both of us, like we know we've had terrible days out there, right, John? Where like, you don't even know if you're going to be able to like, you know, you might be walking up double peak at the end, you know, that's fine, you know, but just knowing that you're going to get to the end, you're going to cross that line and then like the relief, it'll be over. You'll have achieved and accomplished it. And then you get to crack open a Lost Abbey beer and eat some, you know, food from Sam Ames and like start telling stories with your buddies out there. And like to know that everyone's in that same boat, and regardless if it was like a personal best or you won or you're, you know, coming in at, you know, when it was after dark, like it doesn't matter. And like that's really the vibe that is special with BWR.
I'm pretty sure I'm 99% sure it was you. It was, I don't know, if I don't think it was last year, maybe the year before. And it was like, hopefully I'm not getting this mixed up with like, no, I don't think it was DJ, but like I saw you after, like right after, and you were like, don't talk to me, I'll be right back. Or like, just did like, you were in a zone that was not a good spot.
Yeah.
To where I was like, I need a moment.
Yeah, I think that
and
was
I saw you later, and you had a beer, and it's like all good, but you were there, and I was like, oh, I need to go take a break and be by myself.
Yeah, I needed some quiet time after the 2017 BWR. And that's, and you know, that's like, I don't know. I mean, I've had like, you know, I've won BWR twice, and that's really special to me. And then the funny thing is like those times, like those were like some of the easiest rides I've had out there. Cause you know, I was fit, everything worked out really well. And then but the days that I really remember, the ones where like you have to dig deep just to make it through the day. And those are the ones like, man, it hurts, but those are the memorable ones. And like, and not a bad memory. It's just like it, I just look at it as like, hey, building character. And like, that's the experience that 90% of the people are having out there. They're digging deep, making it through to the end, and like true dedication, overcoming barriers like cramps and multiple flat tires and just all these things with just that drive to make it across the line.
So before we start wrapping this up, we got some questions you know, we both put out, see if anyone's got questions for legendary Neil Shirley as we're gonna have a chat this week. Some pretty straightforward questions, and I got a few of my own I always like to ask everyone before they off. But we got a question from Mike, and this could go for another whole hour long podcast. We'll see what your two cents are. He just asked, what is the ideal tire size for the BWR?
Yeah, that's a
good
one. Don't
know his skill level, so shot in the dark on that one.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, there are, when you go to Dirty Kanza, there's like the, you know, the bike setup, right? Gravel bike, probably like 40C tires. And anywhere from the winner to the person that's just trying to make that time cut off, like it's a pretty good setup for everyone. Out at BWR, there's really two completely different bikes. One, the type of bike that the podium contenders will ride, and that's like 28 to 32C tire and typically a road bike. And then there is the other group of riders that are probably not that comfortable in the dirt, want a little more security and just a little more comfort. And so I'd say that's like anywhere from a 32 to a 36C tire. So I think figuring out like where you think your weaknesses are going to be. If the dirt is something you're afraid of, you're not that comfortable in, err on the side of a larger, higher volume tire. And that will allow you to get through the day in a more comfortable way. Yeah, you'll have a little more tire, a little more weight, to push around on the pavement, but being able to like be confident in the dirt that's a really, really important thing at BWR.
All right, Michael, we hope that answers your question. Neil's got the knowledge on that. So we got Alan. So he wants to know wheel choice, and he said more so depth of the wheel.
Yeah. So, you know, again, this kind of goes back to, are you a podium contender? Or are you, you know, where do you fall in this spectrum of level of riders? Like, you know, the G23, which is a shallow mid 20 millimeter depth rim that Envy makes, is a really comfortable, compliant wheel that's amazing in the dirt. It's designed for gravel specifically, but it's not going to provide like the aerodynamic advantage of like the 4.5 AR, which is 100% was developed around team dimension data for Paris-Roubaix. So it's made for a wider tire. You can easily fit like a 32C tire on there, and you have the aerodynamic benefit. But that is also a wheel that's designed for riding at higher speeds. So, you know, if you're really racing and you're probably going to average, you know, upper teens speed wise on the day, then you truly can't get an aerodynamic advantage. And that's where maybe something in the mid 40s into the mid 50s in depth, millimeters in depth, could be an advantage. So really it comes down to rider speed.
All right. So we got Steven saying, Neil, what is your go-to nutrition for long rides?
I would say for specifically for BWR on race day, I always start with three bottles, all three bottles actually with some liquid nutrition in there, since it's really hard to start eating the first 2 to 3 hours for Belgian waffle ride. If you look at how the course goes, you have neutral, which is pretty hectic, where you wouldn't want to start, you know, I'm never that comfortable eating. Plus you're not really hungry yet because you're just starting. So having some mix in the bottles, maybe about 200 calories. There's a number of good products out there. I think First Endurance is a good one. GQ6 as well. Good product. Cliff. There's a lot of good options out there, but anyway, so you can easily just, you can be drinking and not have to be trying to eat a bar, because you go neutral into Lemon Twistenberg, into the Lake Hodges section, into Highland Climb. So basically, you're probably about 40 miles into BWR before the course ever lets up to where you can rest and really be able to take in some calories, some solid calories. So starting with liquid nutrition so that you can easily drink, go through one full bottle in the neutral, and then toss it in the first feed zone or area where you can get rid of a bottle. And then you still have two full bottles with mix that you're comfortable, that you know is going to digest well and not give you any GI distress. And then, you know, you're a good 40 miles in. If you haven't taken in calories and you get 30 to 40 miles in on that day, like, you're screwed. You're already way, you know, you're way behind in caloric intake. So I'd say that would be my advice. Like, start out planning your first couple hours, 3 hours, with liquid calories. And then when things mellow out, you're not around a bunch of people, you can take your hands off the bars and comfortably, you know, start eating like a Bonk Breaker bar or something like that.
Yeah. And something to add to that too, because that is so crucial with like those first 40 miles, that if you're doing the liquid nutrition route, which is, you know, pretty spot on, make sure your bottle cages hold your bottle over rough terrain, because it's just like, you see bottles flying everywhere. And if you're like, okay, well, I'm going to do liquid nutrition, then obviously that, there goes that idea, but then you just can't eat because, yeah, it's pretty hectic those first 40 miles and it's rough, and you're just going to be done. So that's simple, easy, but make sure you have some really strong cages.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, water bottle cages have one job, And if it doesn't do that,
you had one job,
one job only. And if it cannot hold your bottles, if you've ever lost a bottle from your cages, take them off and replace them. Put some Lazine cages on, or, you know, that's what I use.
Carbon, yeah. Get some really...
Don't look to save weight on the water bottle cages. Get something that holds your bottles, because BWR will test those cages 100%.
Good little neat nook cranny right there. All right, so we got Amanda. She wants to know, are you going to go for the win this year?
I'm going to say
you better be.
I would love to think that I could, but I simply do not. There's too many good guys now, and I don't ride my bike nearly enough. And this snow definitely does not help. So
your altitude training. That's called altitude training. You're going to come down to sea level, and you're like, oh, I got an extra couple of years. This is great. It's easy.
Yeah. That's my plan. It's going to be easy.
I know how you work. Okay.
No, my goal is to finish when there's still beer left.
Yeah, that might be. I'll save one for you, because probably not gonna do the long one.
I thought we were gonna be ride buddies this year, John.
I try to be ride buddies all the time, and now you just okay. Speaking of ride buddies, I don't know what this is gonna have to do with it, but I want to ask you this. Last year, you were flying in the beginning. And, well, I mean, I'm going to say the part that I saw, because, like, I didn't see you middle or end. So you were, like, not sitting in. You were on the front. People were even like, dude, Neil is on a good one today. Like, he's going for it. But, you know, it didn't work. Like, shoot, I know the wheels kind of came undone. But, were you just – how confident were you? Like, you're on the front pulling everyone up every climb that first, 40 miles we were just talking about. Like, we were going in the dirt in the beginning, in the lead. And I'm like, oh, Neil's been training. He's on it.
Yeah.
What was going on through your head right there?
Well, when you come into the dirt section with like the first or the second dirt section with, or first and then second with like 30 plus guys surrounding you, 50 people, whatever it is, like I decided to use a little extra energy and just be able to be in the front, pick my lines. I could just have a clear line of sight for anything. And, you know, anyone that's ridden around the Lake Hodges area, we know that like there's some really sketchy rock areas. So just being able to pick your line is an advantage. And then like on Highland, you know, yeah, I felt good. I felt good until I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
So that end of the story.
Okay. What mileage marker were you like, ooh, I'm feeling it. Like I'm feeling it now.
What happened was, it was on Black Canyon when the second part of Black Canyon, when all the attacks started going, and our group went from like 15 down to like 7, and I just didn't have that high end. My upper limit wasn't there, and I came undone. So then just went into riding mode after that, and it got a lot more peaceful.
See, that'll be buddy mode, and when you want to do that from the beginning, we can do it.
That sounds good to me.
Okay, so I always want to ask everyone this thing, and you don't have to go into too detail on this, but what are your personal top three tips for just for anyone doing BWR? Obviously not like the good top pro guys, but just kind of your average Joe just coming out here maybe for the first time from Tennessee or wherever that is, and they've never been to BWR, but they see all the stuff online, like they don't know what they're getting themselves into. They're terrified of what Michael's saying. What's three tips you got for them?
It's a really, really long day. Everyone feels good early on. So just be mindful that you're not going to feel good the second half. And so when you're charging up climbs early on, maybe just shift two gears easier, sit down and relax a little bit, because you're going to wish you had all those efforts back.
Do you wish you had all those efforts back last year?
Yes, I do. I need to heed my own advice. So that's number one. No one has ever finished BWR and said, man, I wish I had harder gears.
That's
never heard that. So, you should never have a standard crank, compact for sure. Make sure like 1136 on the back. Why not? Right. You're going to use it. If it's there, you're going to use it. So go big on the gears. What would number three be? Let's see. Eat and drink often, especially like what I was saying early on. That's, you're not hungry yet. You're not thirsty yet. You're just getting going. You're excited. You feel great, but you are burning calories. You're sweating. You need to make sure that if you want to set yourself up for success for the second half and finish still with, you know, feeling halfway decent, or at least just being able to finish, you need to be mindful of that you are burning calories. You need to be taking in 250 calories an hour, every single hour, including hour one. So whatever you need to do to make that happen, but it's easy to forget unless you really practice it in training.
All right. I like it. All good. All right. Well, before wrapping this up, we're going to do this again with, yourself and Jake, who is, what's his title? If anyone doesn't know, Neil works for Envy Composites. So
yeah,
we're going to give him a ring. And Jake, who is,
Jake Pantone has been, he's been at Envy since the very beginning. So going on 12 years, and he's the VP of he's basically the product brand manager. So he's been in the development of all the rims, all the wheels that have come out of Envy. All of our rims are made right where I'm at in Ogden, Utah. So we'll connect with Jake and talk about some of the technology, that's really over the last couple of years has been refined for this type of riding. So that'll be a fun conversation.
We'll geek out for sure. And, if anyone has any, you know, concern or questions, you know, more tech driven, you know, let us know, and we'll be sure to get to them for that episode. But, so Neil, you know, stay warm. Sounds like it's not out there, but, you're getting your altitude training in for BWR, so
you're good. Taking it seriously.
And thanks again for all the good nuggets and all the good info. And we will see you in May.
All right. Thanks, John.
All right. Talk soon. Bye. See you in May.